We live in a food culture dominated by the notion that cooking is a performance art, something that you wow people with from behind the island of your open concept kitchen, as if you were the host of your own Food Network show. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah episode 185, The Nazarite Chef and the Temple Chamber. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-minute mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
In an episode of Bible 365, I made mention, briefly, of an article by J. Brian Lauder, an essay inspired by the film that served as a foundation for that episode's introduction to Leviticus, Babette's Feast. A story of a woman who utilizes her gifts as a chef in order to create a meal for members of the village in which she lives. Or, as the article by J. Brian Lauder puts it, it is a film that depicts how ultimately, quote, Babette's exquisite, beautifully composed meal, featuring most memorably a dish of stuffed quails and puffed pastry called Kai and Sarcophage, ultimately brings the village together again, end quote. In this article, J. Brian Lauder describes how he, too, sought to recreate this dish. Or as he further puts it, quote, but today, when caloric abundance is the rule rather than the exception, does a complicated, lovingly prepared meal still have the power to bring people together? To find out, I determined to recreate Babette's pièce de résistance, the cayenne sarcophage, for a group of friends, end quote. And so, the writer describes how complicated it was to find the various ingredients for this dish, as well as searching for a recipe on the internet that would allow him to bring this culinary delicacy about. And then he goes on to tell us about how carefully he created the dish out of the puffed pastry. Or as he further tells us, quote, as anyone who's worked with puffed pastry in a hot kitchen knows, the fickle stuff demands to be rushed back into the freezer after just a few minutes of handling, lest it become too sticky. So the cutting process was slow. But once complete, I had four nice rounds with smaller circular indentations in the middle. After the pastry baked and rose majestically, I used the indentations as a guide to gently cut out a neat hole in the center of each puff. Voila! We had sarcophage. End quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, why am I describing in great detail the efforts at cooking by a writer? What does this have to do with 10-minute mitzvah? Actually, it has a great deal to do with our central subject over the past few days, which is the laws of the Nazir. To summarize some of the rules that we have seen, once someone has taken upon him or herself the vow of Nazirite status, the Nazir is not allowed to drink wine or eat any part of a grape in any form. The Nazir is further forbidden from becoming ritually defiled. If ritual impurity is contacted by the Nazir by coming in contact with the dead, then special offering must be brought. Or, as number 6 tells us, and this is the Sepharia translation, on the 8th day the person shall bring 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting. The priest shall offer one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering. And then we are further informed in the next verse, and that person shall rededicate to Hashem the term as Nazirite, bringing a lamb in his first year as a penalty offering. In other words, once defiled, the Nazir must bring special offerings, having prior cut his or her hair, and then the observances of Nazirite-hood begins again. But once one has completed the time period that one has vowed to observe life as a Nazir, then several offerings are brought, including, as we mentioned yesterday, the Chatat, usually translated as a sin offering. Though, whether that is the correct translation in this context, and why a sin offering would apply to the Nazir, is a separate question that we addressed yesterday. But another offering brought by the Nazir at the conclusion of this observance is a shlamim, the offering that is eaten, usually translated as peace offering. Interestingly, in this case, the Nazir is called to share part of that peace offering with the Kohanim after it has been cooked on the temple grounds, with the Nazir feeding the fire with his or her shorn hair. This is the only ritual in which a non-Kohen takes part in the actual preparation of a sacred meal that is part of an offering, while still in the precinct of the sacred. Indeed, the rabbis report that there is a special chamber on the Temple Mount for this purpose, Lishkat HaNazirim, the Chamber of the Nazarites. This is more from number 6, Sepharia, translation, describing the Shlamim, peace offering, or as Sepharia renders it, the sacrifice of well-being. Quote, he shall offer the ram as a sacrifice of well-being to Hashem, together with the basket of unleavened cakes. The priest shall offer the meal offerings and the libations. The Nazarite shall then shave the consecrated hair at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and take those locks of consecrated hair and put them on the fire that is under the sacrifice of well-being. The priest shall take the shoulder of the ram when it has been boiled, one unleavened cake from the basket, and one unleavened wafer, and place them on the hands of the Nazarite, after the consecrated hair has been shaved. The priest shall elevate them as an elevation offering before Hashem, and this shall be a sacred donation for the priest, in addition to the breast of the elevation offering and the thigh of gift offering. After that, the Nazarite may drink wine. In other words, the Nazir shares with the priest not only the portions that are usually given to him, but also a special part, the zerah, or shoulder, known in rabbinic texts as the zerah b'shelah, the cooked shoulder, a cooking in which the Nazir has personally been involved in the Nazarite chamber, which is a quasi-kitchen. What is going on here? The answer, perhaps, can be found in the final words of the passage I cited. After that, the Nazarite can drink wine. These offerings mark the reintroduction of the Nazarite to regular life, and it is done through the pleasure of a meal that is sanctified, not only because it is an offering, but because the Nazarite has been personally involved in its preparation and its sharing. J. Brian Lauder, describing his own adventure in attempting to create puff pastry with quail, tells us how luxurious and expensive it was. Quote, sitting on their white plates, my kai were not nearly as elegant as Babette's, but they were, in the words of a dinner guest, remarkable, and at roughly $37 a plate, that's fortunate. Was the result worth the effort and cost? Considered purely as an exercise in cooking, I'd say sure. Kai were as rich, succulent, and delicious as advertised, though there is some small irony to be found in the fact that my guests were more vocally appreciative of the first course vichyssoise, which cost something like $4 per person. However, my relative success with Babette's special dish is not the thing that I value most about that evening. Instead, it's my role as a cook in relation to my guests that I keep thinking about as the flavors fade from memory. During this dinner, I spent a great deal of time in the kitchen, prepping the next course, opening more wine, and generally taking pleasure in the fact that my guests were enjoying themselves. My food and service, as the grist for the gathering, were more important than my constant presence. In this sensibility, I share something fundamental with Babette, who cooks not to impress or to show off. Indeed, she never appears in the dining room, but rather to facilitate the alchemy that transforms good food into great fellowship. This is an ethic that is all too rare. We live in a food culture dominated by the notion that cooking is a performance art, something that you wow people with from behind the island of your open concept kitchen, as if you were the host of your own Food Network show. And then he adds a bit after, indeed, Babette's story is an argument for the idea that spending money, time, and energy cooking for friends is the best gift a home cook can give, especially if they enjoy themselves so much that they practically forget who's behind the stove. End quote. The Nazir, as part of his or her reintroduction to life, shares a meal with the priest, is personally involved with the preparation of the food for the Kohen, and then can enjoy that shlamim, that peace or well-being offering, now with wine, experiencing how certain pleasures of life can indeed be embraced as long as they are sanctified through fellowship and faith. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.